Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
All right, I found the Halloween candy. This is Frederick Penny, Radio Law Talk, Hour 3 of Radio Law Talk. We love being here. This is the most exciting, extraordinary, and sometimes entertaining show on earth. Well, I'm going to say entertaining, but sometimes informative show on earth, because you know what? You just can't have a better time than Saturday mornings listening to us. Call us at 855-LAW-RADIO if you want to talk to us. We're going to talk about some very interesting things. We're going to talk about Alec Baldwin, the latest really interesting, I'm going to call it a misfire of a prop gun. We're going to talk about the latest on Maxwell. Ghislaine Maxwell. And then we're going to talk about Britney Spears. And the latest on the Kobe Bryant case, what's going on there. There's a lot of interesting topics that we're going to talk about. Remember, seek counsel. We're not giving legal advice. We're just talking about general topics of law. Go to www.radiolawtalk.com if you want to listen live, or tell your friends to listen live. And then what we've got is any and all social media. Just type in Radio Law Talk. You're going to find us. Not Law Talk, Radio Law Talk. And you're going to find us on all our social media platforms. But we really enjoy being here, and Cal Hunter, our producer, has stumped us hour two on case or no case, and let's see if he can stump us here on hour three. Go ahead.
Now it's time to play case or no case.
We all know it was dumb luck. However, it was a raucous church-sponsored activity. Boys playing basketball because their outdoor activity was canceled. Bad weather. And they were handing out bite-sized Halloween candy. What could go wrong? One of the boys grabbed a bite-sized Snickers bar and thought it would be fun to heave it at another one of the boys, aggressively, and he did. Hit him right in the eyeball, causing swelling and bleeding and just a general mess. For the parents of the victim child, that meant trips to the ophthalmologist, the emergency room, because the kid's eye was pretty badly damaged. The offending boy was apologetic, but we all know that apologies don't pay the bills, and there were many, more than $3,000 worth. So after talking to the thrower's family and getting no acceptable response, namely a check, they talked to a lawyer and said, can we recover our expenses on this matter? And that is our query for case or no case. Mr. Fred Penny, what say you?
This is down my alley, of course. Look, the parents, generally speaking, are not going to be held liable. Every state's different. You got to look at your state. You got to talk to a local lawyer. But generally speaking, parents are not always liable. Everyone thinks, oh, the parents, I'm going to sue the parents because the kid did something. Not necessarily true. There's a standard you got to show that basically the it's kind of the famous Keys case, and there's cases that have come down in California that I've discussed before, but as in, okay, you know your son's a drunk, and you know doesn't have a driver's license and drives drunk. This is an example. And yet you keep the keys sitting there hanging, and the son's 21, whatever, hanging there right by the telephone in the family room, in the kitchen, where he can get them, you know. Stuff like that, they may be liable, but in this case, there's no way the parents are going to be liable, in my opinion, because the kid threw a Snickers bar or whatever it was.
Yeah, bite size.
And here's the best part about it, Cal. This is typical church ball. You know, this is what you do at church. You throw things. The kids go in and play and have a good time. And this sounds like trunk or treat. Kids playing around in a trunk or treat, which is typical. This may have happened at Cal's church, and he's just trying to lay it out. And this is not a case, but probably a scenario with his own kid that threw it at someone. So
no,
there you go.
Oh, my child would never do such an affair.
No kid would ever do that.
Mr. Kunin, what say you? Since Fred says no case, what's your thinking?
He stole my answer.
I agree with Fred. I think this is something that, you know, Cal is looking at it saying, you know, I'm seeing a lot of people playing church ball and doing stuff. How can I make them think twice about having fun? Well, I'm going to make up a story.
The question is, really, and this, my thinking is, how do the parents recover that $3,000 loss? I mean, that's an expensive trip, you know, an eyeball deal. That's expensive. So that was my thinking. But anyway,
when you made up the story, that was your thinking to see if you could. Just, okay, yeah. No case. No case.
Denise, what do you think?
Well, I would say keep the fun-sized Snickers to yourself, please. But in this particular case, I don't know who brought the Snickers, bite-sized Snickers. Who brought it?
The leaders of the, you know, the people putting the activity together brought
the church leaders, right?
Right, exactly.
And it's in a church facility.
Yes.
Well, they could sue the insurance company for the church facility, premise liability. And it could be premise liability based upon an intentional act or a negligent act, if you will, of one of the people on the premises that got injured. So there could be recovery, in my opinion. So I'm going to say, because I think it has to be something weird, I think both Todd and Fred are saying this is Cal trying to, you know,
trying to
fool us again.
Absolutely.
No.
But I'm saying that I think it's a case.
Wow.
And they recover. And it could be under small claims theory.
And they could have recovered against the church or the kids' parents either
way.
Yes,
that's what I'm saying.
Hmm. Well, that's what makes it interesting, because as this all turned out, no case was filed. The church had insurance to cover itself, and the child's parents also had medical insurance. So they said, it's not that big a deal. We'll just go ahead and get his eyeball.
So it's not a case.
So it is.
Dang it, but I was right.
No case. You were.
But it's an actual situation. Did you hear about it? Was it in the news, or was it just someone you knew about?
When I served in leadership in my church, this kind of thing would occasionally happen. And they would, you know, they'd train us about it.
Church ball. That's church ball, man.
It's just an
interesting. I tell you right now, the nicest people in the world will become the most evil people during church ball.
Darn straight.
So you want to hear what's interesting?
Sure.
Todd is ahead at 38 points, and you know what that means if he wins?
What?
No dinner.
No dinner? Well, because you will have won one, Fred will have won one, and I will have won one.
What's my points?
We cancel everybody out.
What do I have?
You have 34, and Cal has a whopping 14.
Yes. 34, so I'm only four behind. That's the first one to 50 points, ladies and gentlemen. The other hosts have to buy dinner for the winner, and so Todd owes Denise and I dinner, and so we're just waiting for that, and obviously
it
hasn't happened yet.
I have virtually no chance of getting that amount of points. Virtually no chance, because for me to get my 2 points, I have to fool all three of them.
That's right.
So I have no chance.
That's exactly right.
But it's still fun to try.
Oh, but we're fools.
I think I'm the fool.
So let's talk about this case. This is very interesting to me. And again, this is up my alley. And the very famous helicopter accident case. I can go in detail and discuss, but we won't. So what happens is Vanessa Bryant, her daughter passed away and Kobe passed away in this tragic helicopter accident. And by the way, a lot of the tragedy is, too, all the other individuals that passed away were never, I mean, they're not going to get the notoriety, but it was sad. There was like a family.
They did get some payout.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know that there's even enough money involved with it depends. Again, the settlement, Kobe's wife settled the case with the helicopter company and the FAA. They tried to sue the FAA also. What happened after that is, remember, the pictures were taken of Kobe and his daughter dead, and those pictures were circulated amongst the police officers, generally speaking. She's suing about that. So we're going to come back and talk about what the latest motion by the government is to make Vanessa do. We'll be right back.
Listening to Radio Law Talk on many great local radio stations. We appreciate that. Many are listening on RadioLawTalk.com, and some are listening via podcast from RadioLawTalk.com. However you're listening, we want to say two words. Thank you. And we'll be back.
commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease.
These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
Hi, my name is... I'm going to be talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called The Tax Doctor, and The Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-263-2610. 800-263-2610. That's 800-263-2610.
You love your dog. Is something bothering him or her and you can't figure out what it is? Maybe they seem slow or lethargic. And maybe they just don't have energy. Wouldn't you like your dog to be living their very best life? PetJoy offers a money-back guarantee on all of its products. If your dog won't eat it or you don't see the results you want, just let us know and we'll make it right. Totally risk-free. What do you have to lose? You can't buy PetJoy multivitamins in a store. The only way you can get them is through this unique radio offer. And if you call right now, learn how to get two bottles free with your order. Turn your dog's life around and make him or her a happy camper. Ain't that right, boy? He said call PetJoy right now. 800-711-9218. 800-711-9218. 800-711-9218. That's it.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
You're a whiner.
You are a loser.
Email the show anytime you'd like. info@radiolawtalk.com. I-N-F-O. Info. Info. @radiolawtalk.com.
So during the break, we're talking about some very interesting issues with Vanessa Bryant's case against the, I believe it's L.A. County Sheriff.
Yes.
I can't remember. I think it's L.A. County Sheriff. And the government concerning these pictures that were taken of Kobe and her daughter dead, basically, at the scene. So a lot of it, you know, and as Todd and I and Denise were talking, a lot of it comes down to facts, right? What are the facts and what happened? So there's a couple of things we have to look at. We have to look at, it is not unusual, and I have handled a lot of death cases, that the officers or people at the scene, individuals that are, I'm going to say, officials, take pictures of the deceased. That happens all the time. I see him all the time. It's basically standard procedure, right? Now the question is, what happens that usually gets put into evidence? Usually does not get dispersed, and there's nothing wrong with that according to the law, right? In fact, there's times we have to use it sometimes as lawyers before a jury, and there's reasons we use it for, you know, did they survive, you know? And if they did survive, you know, because there's survival actions and there's wrongful death actions, right? What did they suffer or how did they suffer? And there's a lot of details that we go into. But the question here is, in my understanding as we discuss this, is these were individual officers' private cell phones taking pictures, and one of the officers trying to hit on a lady apparently showed it, these pictures that he took on his private phone to some girl in a bar, and the bartender overheard it and reported it. So, that's clearly outside the scope, of what he was allowed to or should be doing. But it'd be a different scenario if it was, okay, there's pictures taken and put in evidence and someone stole it and showed somebody, right?
Yeah.
So what's going on here is, the issue is, what damages did Vanessa suffer? That's the question.
And
what are her
family
damages?
Members too.
Right. What are the damages? The damages are, you know, pain and suffering, you know, income, psychological, emotional distress. But how does that, what the government's arguing is, how does that differ from that emotional distress and damages from the actual accident and death, which you've already settled out for, right? So what they do, and they have the absolute right to do, is she has to show up to a psychiatrist on behalf of the defendant who they're suing, has the right to have her to go to psychiatrist, and they're blowing it up here like, oh, they're making her go to see psych. Absolutely they have the right to do that because they can defend themselves. And when a plaintiff sues, and whatever they sue for, whatever the list is, the other side has the right to use a doctor to refute those issues, but they can't have a ton of different doctors. It's usually one. And that's what's going on here, and what they're doing is absolutely normal, and it is not unusual, and the press is kind of blown up like, oh my gosh, they're making her go see a psychiatrist. Well, yeah, she's claiming emotional distress, and they have the right to defend themselves.
Yeah, I think the hard part here is they're even trying to do an independent medical evaluation of or examination of the 5-year-old child, and that's where it's starting to get a little more rough. But there's a lot of causes of action where you have a right as a defendant to have the psychological evaluation. Like whenever somebody alleges emotional distress, whenever somebody alleges loss of consortium or loss of a relationship, whenever there's allegations of mental distress, those type of injuries require some kind of an independent medical examination.
Yeah, and just like Todd, I'll jump to you. But and a 5-year-old, Denise, they can do that. Generally speaking, they can. But they've got to be really careful, and a good judge will set parameters. A lot of times you can have your person there. If you're hired as a plaintiff, you know, you can have your doctors there or one of your attorneys there to make sure things occur right and there's no abuse, right?
Good point.
I'm just curious if there's any expert, mental health expert, who let's say they submit to these, that would write a report, and maybe there are, I don't know, I'll freely admit that this is not my wheelhouse, but I'm just curious if there are any experts out there that would author a report that says, after interviewing Miss Bryant, in my professional opinion, the anxiety and stress that she is suffering is because of the loss of her husband, and the dissemination of pictures as reported back to her have not added to her stress at all.
I doubt that would occur. In fact, I think that there'll be an expert that will say that she has nightmares about seeing the dead bodies in the press, that she is so worried that her children are going to see these pictures because everybody knows they're out there. She found out about it through the media, and that's what I think the independent medical evaluation is going to uncover, whether that's happening.
The only follow-up to that, because Fred has talked about they have the right to do this, and I agree that they do, but personally, I don't know that I would want to be the defendant, even if they did find an expert that could say something like that, that would go to trial and actually try to argue that to a jury.
No, I'll tell you exactly. Let me tell you, I know the answer to that. I've seen this too many times. And again, we're not throwing an opinion here. We're just generally talking, because as attorneys, we're not saying, hey, this is what's going to happen. But what I see happening is the defense's psychiatrist or psychiatric examiner, I can almost see no way that person's going to say she had no anxiety because of that picture issue. All they're going to try to do is disseminate it down to, yes, she did, but it wasn't as much as you think it is. For them to come in and say she had no anxiety or no mental anguish because of those picture issue, the jury's just going to kick them right off. The jury's just going to ignore them.
I think you're right.
But they're going to come in and just lessen it, is what they're going to say, which might be true. It might be true. So that's, I think, what's going to happen.
I have a question first. So what if the defense now gathers up and corrals all of the pictures and said, here's the original pictures, you can have them, destroy them. Is that mitigation of damage?
I'm going to say no, because this is what I always say. When there's a famous saying that when you do damage to someone, it's like throwing a feather pillow, open a feather pillow and throw it in the air with the wind. Go back and try to pick up all the feathers. It's just not going to happen, right? So I think that's going to be difficult. But I still think it's going to be just mitigating or lessening. The expert's going to say she's not quite as bad as you say she is, but she has suffered some. We're going to be back after this. We've got more stuff at Radio Law Talk we're going to discuss, including Britney Spears.
Fred, Todd, and Denise will be right back with more Radio Law Talk after we take this break.
Commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease.
These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called the Tax Doctor, and the Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS, and they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-263-2610. 800-263-2610. That's 800-263-2610.
Keep listening for an exciting offer from U.S. Med. If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain and inconvenience of pricking your fingers over and over again. By wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers right away. If you're testing your blood sugar four or more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call today and learn about the latest CGM technology. 800-251-7560. 800-251-7560. We'll tell you all you need to know about CGMs. A CGM can immediately reduce pain. It's accurate, easy to use, and helps you make better diabetes treatment decisions. And with insurance, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Call now to learn more. 800-251-7560.
USA Radio News.
I'm Brad Bernards.
Former Trump Chief of Staff Mark Meadows joined former Trump Chief Strategist Steve Bannon on the War Room on Friday afternoon. The two former Trump advisors discussed Dr. Fauci's lies to Congress under oath on the gain-of-function research he funded in Wuhan, China.
They're going to try to blame this on someone else other than NIH, other than Dr. Fauci, to try to suggest that he didn't lie. But I can tell you, there's emails out there early on in February of 2020 that alerted everybody to the fact that there was gain-of-function research going on.
On October 18th, intelligence chiefs of South Korea, the United States, and Japan convened in Seoul to discuss North Korean issues, aiming to bring Pyongyang back to the negotiating table through a flurry of diplomacy. This is USA Radio News.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Radio Law Talk. I like that show. Oh, that's down.
Now, Radio Law Talk continues. Here's your host, Fred Penny.
So, a very tragic thing occurred recently on a movie set that Todd's going to talk to us about Alec Baldwin. There's a lot of stunts that occur on movie sets, including with firearms and animals, et cetera, et cetera. And they actually have an actual, like, safety team that reviews and does things. And so tell us what happened in this case, Todd, and what the latest is.
So Alec Baldwin is in Santa Fe, New Mexico, I believe, filming a Western, an older, a period piece. It's older, set older. And there was an accident on the set that resulted in the death of the director of photography and serious injuries to the director of the film. And the accident occurred, according to reports, and this is all the reports that have been out, I have no firsthand knowledge, but according to reports, the accident occurred when Alec Baldwin was given a gun, told it was a prop gun, apparently believed it was unloaded as part of the scene that was being filmed, pulled the trigger, and the gun discharged and shot both the director of photography and the director, killing, ultimately, the director of photography. And so there's a lot of questions. I've seen so many articles. Can Alec Baldwin be charged with murder, homicide? What can be charged with? What did he know? What are the criminal ramifications? And that speculation has been exacerbated by the fact that the local law enforcement drafted a warrant so that they could go in and see certain items because they have a responsibility to investigate this circumstance. Nobody's been charged with anything at this time. But the warrant that was drafted, leads people to think that this could be a criminal matter, and I suppose theoretically it could be a criminal matter. And there's been a lot of speculation as to what was the setup that would have resulted in this happening anyway. And as Fred talked about, on a movie set, when it comes to the use of firearms, there's a of firearms on a movie set to help ensure that things like this don't happen, but sometimes they do. Anybody that is familiar with the movie The Crow, with Brandon Lee, Bruce Lee's son, he was killed on a movie set. He was shot in the chest.
Very similar situation.
Exactly. And the circumstances of that case may very well have been at play here, and it didn't appear in that case to be anything intentional, but it was negligent. Yeah, the person in charge of the safety has certain things they're supposed to be looking at, and that may or may not have happened. I can envision a scenario in which the director of photography and the director would be shot. Anybody who's seen a Clint Eastwood movie, the Dirty Harry movies, you know, what's the iconic line, go ahead, make my day. And that shot is with Clint Eastwood as Dirty Harry with a gun, and we see the image, the view, from the person that the gun is being pointed at. So the camera has a gun pointed right at them. It's a revolver. You can see the bullets on the side of the revolver that would be turned, and that is a shot that would, it adds for suspense, given the fact that the people behind the camera in a shot like that filming it would be the director of photography and the director.
So I'm going to interrupt there. So why can't they film that way, and then when the time that they roll it, and then they step away from it as he's shooting?
Why can't they?
Because they can't get the camera.
They got the camera going and they get it rolling and they walk away because the camera's rolling.
You mean lock down the camera and
lock it down.
The camera unattended.
No, and you start to film, and right before the trigger, they keep it rolling and they walk away, leave it unattended, just step to the side just in case.
Okay, yeah, you could. It depends on what the shot calls for. If it's a static shot, I get that. Sometimes they have the focus set, the depth of field is set such that if the tip of the barrel is out of focus, the eyes are in. And maybe it's a shot where they focus on the eyes where he says something, and then the focus changes so that you're focused on the edge of the barrel, and boom, the shot comes out. If it's something like that, there are a lot of reasons why.
Technology to this day, they could probably do it remotely, step to the side, and still do it. You see what I'm saying? With a camera, and then they can see what the camera's doing. I'm just saying, to me, the way the technology is nowadays, the safety should be, no one should be looking through that lens when a gun, even if it's not real, is being shot at.
And again, I think that maybe there would be experts that would testify to that, and there are a lot of creatives out there that would look at that and say, in a situation like that, 9 times out of 10, and I'm not saying this is what happened on the set down in Santa Fe, but 9 times out of 10, you got a director and a director of photography sitting there saying, you know, would it be awesome if we could do this, but we're going to have to be right here. We can do it. It's okay. And they're the ones pushing for the shot. They are the ones pushing for the shot, not somebody else saying, you got to do this shot. And the DP sitting there saying, I don't want to do this shot. I'm putting myself in peril. The director of photography and the director are the ones pushing for that specific shot. And so they do that. But there are a couple of things in this case that gave me that I think that they're investigating right now. First, according to reports that have come out, the assistant director was the one who retrieved the gun, the prop gun, gave it to Alec Baldwin, told Baldwin, cold gun, meaning it's not loaded, and they proceeded with the scene. So I got an issue with that. Normally on set, it's not the assistant director that hands the gun to the actor. It is the safety expert. They are in charge of that gun from the time, the only time they're not in charge of that gun is when they physically put it into the actor's hands to the end of the scene, and then they take it from the actor. Every other time, it's in the custody and control of the armor. If it's true that the assistant director was the one who grabbed the gun, there were 3 sitting there, and gave it to Alec Baldwin, the question here is, why wasn't the safety expert the one doing that? Because they go through the whole protocol of checking it to make sure it's loaded and not loaded, and that the correct gun is the one that's given. And that is probably what they're looking at here.
Right, and one thing for sure is that Alec Baldwin is not going to get charged for murder. And that's because there was an intervening factor. That was the person who handed the gun to him and represented that it was not an active gun.
That is true, although I will say that anybody that handles a gun on a movie set should receive training in the safe handling of that gun. The safe training includes anytime you are handed a gun, regardless of what somebody tells you, you should do an independent check. That is in the protocol, the Actors Equity Protocol Safety Guidelines. So arguably, you could make the argument that even though he gets the gun, he still has an independent responsibility to take a look at to see if the gun is loaded, the type of bullets that are in the gun. Although, if it was similar to the Brandon Lee incident, he may not have seen it even if he had conducted that check because of certain technicalities.
The bullet could have been already in, and you couldn't have seen that it was not in the barrel.
From a previous scene, there's a way in which a bullet can become lodged in the barrel of the gun so that in the next scene, even if you're using a blank that has no bullet in the chamber of the revolver portion, if you pull that trigger, the bullet that was lodged in the barrel is going to go out. That's what happened in the Brandon Lee case.
Why is there ever a bullet in there? If they're not using, why do they even have to have a bullet in there when they just have blanks?
I think I know. Because they want to film. Let's say that the first bullet goes into a wall. So they have the gun, they shoot a hole in the wall, and they film it go into a wall, right? So it could be part of the cinematography.
And second, for that shot that is right down the barrel of the gun, well, you would want an actual slug on the side so that the audience knows that, hey, this is a loaded gun as you see that revolver go. Now, in those cases, there's not supposed to be any wad. It's just supposed to be a slug in an empty shell. But
there's ways to have a slug in there. I just don't know.
Well, the armament person who was on the set was the daughter of the most famous armament person in Hollywood, who had been doing this since Gunsmoke and all of those old TV shows. And she said in a podcast earlier, she lacked confidence in her ability to do this. What? And then she said, but once I got going, I feel pretty comfortable with it.
Just to follow up on that, what she said was the last film that she had done was with Nick Cage. When she started out, she was nervous and lacked confidence, but once it got going in that she was fine. I don't think that there's been any statement by her that on this set with this film
not relating to this film. I'm just saying in general, her initial, like anybody would be dealing with live ammunition, it would be a little frightening and intimidating.
Again, I'm going to repeat myself a hundredth time. Why do you ever need a bullet in those when you're shooting? And I know, Denise, you brought up something. The technology now, why do you need a bullet ever to be in a gun on a set? I can see blanks, I can see real guns, but I don't know.
Cosmetic bullets. I mean,
there's all kinds of things you can do. I just don't get it. I don't get it. When we come back, we're going to talk more. We're going to do a little bit about the, what's her name? Brittany. Well, Brittany, we're going to talk about. And Denise, you're going to talk about?
Well, we're just going to give updates. Yeah, on Maxwell's case.
Maxwell case. We'll be back.
Stay tuned. As Fred just said, and Denise, there is more Radio Law Talk coming up right here. You stay there, and the program will continue. Stay tuned for more Radio Law Talk. It's coming right up after we break away.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Folks, looks like food shortages are here and gonna stick around. Supply chains are breaking down, and inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission or more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months, and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
That is Armadillo.
Now, Radio Law Talk continues. Here's your host, Fred Penny.
Yeah, we're talking about how Todd's son is smarting off to him in his text. All right.
Oh, brother.
Let's go ahead. Denise, you're up. Let's talk about what's the latest.
The latest is, we talked, I think it was a couple weeks ago.
Maxwell.
We talked about Maxwell, who was an associate of Jeffrey Epstein. We talked about the fact that both the prosecution and defense had agreed that the juror questioning was not going to be made public prior to them occurring, right? Well, the judge actually rejected that because the press intervened. And the press said, look, we have a First Amendment right to have access to that information. And the judge agreed. And the judge went further and said that she denied the defense's request that they get to question the jurors, the would-be jurors. And she said, I'm going to do the questioning. So, no, we're going to make the questions public. And no, defense isn't going to question the jurors, the would-be prospective jurors themselves. I will do the questions.
Is this federal court?
It is.
Yeah, federal court, they do that most of the time. Yeah, it's very, the attorneys don't get a lot of say in federal court. They do a lot of questions. Okay, so we're going to see what happens.
So just now, an update on the topic.
Speaking of updates, Britney Spears, the issue is about attorney-client privilege. You know, and don't forget, we don't need to go into the history of Britney Spears. years. But, you know, what's going to happen with a conservatorship? Apparently, her dad's out, right? And an accountant is in. One of her accountants is in. And then what's the issue with Brittany right now, Denise?
Well, you have, in a conservatorship, you have the conservator who is the professional or the fiduciary that is overseeing either her estate or overseeing her person. And then you have the conservatee, who is Brittany. And the question becomes, when the conservator is being advised by an attorney, who holds that attorney-client privilege? Is it Brittany, or is it the conservator, or can it be the successor conservator? And that's what's super important. This is an extremely strategic case that I believe Brittany Spears' new attorney had pre-thought out, and that her dad, Jamie, had pre-thought out. And the thought is that her dad, Jamie, wanted to have the whole conservatorship dismissed right away, and that Brittany's attorney didn't want to have it dismissed right away. Will eventually, but not right now, because he can use the structure of the conservatorship itself to have the attorney-client privilege pass to the successor conservator, so they have access to all the books, the records, all the communications between Jamie and the attorney for Jamie, the previous attorneys, the subsequent attorneys, and it's kind of a brilliant move, actually.
So basically what you're saying, though, is that I understand is attorney-client privilege, the conservator, who was her dad, if he has the attorney-client privilege. So who doesn't hold it is the lawyer. It's the individual, right? The individual holds it. That's why we argued in the whether you agree or disagree with Trump issue was his attorney who was blabbing his mouth. I don't even remember the guy's name. It's like
Cohen.
He doesn't have the right to bring that stuff out. That's the person that is your client has to release your right to bring it up. But in this case, let me finish. In this case, the situation is, does Britney Spears' dad, as the conservator at the time, have that attorney-client privilege? And I'm going to say yes, because I worry about a conservator. I know that you guys are going to have a different – this is why I love this. But I worry about a conservator being a conservator, okay? And you're sitting here doing stuff. And say it's not – you know, they don't like the way you did something or anything. But yet, you know, and you're talking to your attorney about, okay, look, I don't know if this is right, but should I do it this way or this way? That should be an attorney-client privilege that's privileged to that conservator at that time. Otherwise, what would they do? I don't want to talk to anyone. Heaven forbid, it's going to be revealed if I talk to my attorney about something. Denise,
yes, a very big exception to the attorney-client privilege is information that conveys a crime. So if you have information that's given, you know, that is a crime that's going to occur, and you say to your attorney, I'm going to commit a crime, or I've even committed a crime, that potentially is not covered by the attorney-client privilege.
Even a criminal lawyer?
There are exceptions even to that.
Okay.
Yes, I said if for future crimes.
Well,
certainly if you committed a crime and you were honest with your criminal attorney, that would not be covered by it. It would be covered by the attorney-client privilege.
Now,
but it's for future crimes.
There's a caveat to that. It's not all future crimes. So I'm going to read this right out of the barcode rules. This is rule 1.6. Relating to confidential information, this is the California ethics, and this would be covered under California because this is a California case. A lawyer may, but is not required to reveal information protected, attorney-client privilege information, to the extent that the lawyer reasonably believes the disclosure is necessary to prevent a criminal act that the lawyer reasonably believes is likely to result in the death of or substantial bodily harm to an individual. So the lawyer can disclose information that goes to a crime if that crime will result in death or bodily injury to somebody.
But he says, I'm going to go out and steal a candy bar from 7-Eleven next week.
That does not fall within the I can disclose it because it's crime exception to the rules.
Right.
So
this is a case where the thing that's being analogized is that when you have a trustee of an estate or a trust, and that trustee has a success successor trustee. It's already well established that when that successor trustee steps in, the attorney-client goes to that new successor trustee. The former trustee no longer has that attorney-client privilege. So they're trying to argue in this case, in a conservatorship, that it's analogous to that situation, which is a very good argument.
So here's the question that I have. Who does the attorney represent that we're talking about, even when we're talking about a successor? The person right now, is it Britney Spears' attorney or is it Jamie Spears' attorney? Who is it?
Well, the attorney at the time, let's talk about the attorney during the time period when he was the conservator and there was no issues going on, supposed issues. That one attorney, I'm assuming that one attorney was both their attorneys because he's acting on behalf of her. I mean, the whole time, you're saying from the day one, he had a separate attorney.
Yes.
And she had a separate attorney.
She was court-appointed attorney. Remember, she fought to get her own chosen attorney.
Okay, then.
So they each had their own attorneys.
Good. Then his attorney, during the whole conservatorship, there's an attorney-client privilege, and he doesn't have to reveal stuff that occurred during that conservatorship with Britney Spears and that attorney, right?
And then does the attorney-client privilege for the conservatorship pass to the new successor conservator? That's the legal issue that's there.
I'm going to say no. Does to some degree, but it stays with the dad.
That's right.
I think Jamie Spears still has a claim. If he made confidential communications to an attorney and the attorney held themselves out is you can talk to me about this, then that attorney still has a duty of confidentiality to Jamie Spears, because remember the bar rules say you owe a duty of confidentiality to any current or former client, and you're not supposed to act in detrimental to a former client. And if the attorney was disclosing stuff that would be detrimental to Jamie Spears, that'd be violating.
Darn it, I agree with you. He's going to still have the privilege applied for any legal advice he sought from that attorney. That's going to be privileged information, but I don't think he's going to be able to assert privilege as to any kind of documents or books or records or financial information. But advice, I think he still will.
Yeah,
that's my feeling.
That is, Denise. I think Denise talked. This is going to be a game changer, I think. And I worry about the effect that it's going to have on conservators one way or the other. It's like, if I don't have this privileged and I'm dealing with the paperwork and showing it to my attorney and now I got to review all that stuff, I don't know. We're going to have to see. But anyway, the most important thing we do at the hour three, as we end this wonderful show of Radio Law Talk, we sit and do a thing called Quick Takes, where we like you to remember just one short thing for the whole 3 hours. Cal, who do you want to go first?
Well, I was thinking, Denise had a lot to say on that last topic. I'd like to start with her, if she wouldn't mind. Denise, do you have a quick take you can offer now?
I do. Somewhere over the rainbow, skies may be blue, but there is a blow-up snowman that is struggling not to be bent over the rail.
Oh, my gosh. That is Denise. Let's see. Oh, my God. Why can't we just end right there? Why do I even want to say anything?
I should have saved it for the last.
Just let that music go.
That's a mic drop quick take, in my opinion.
Can we just repeat it one last? How much time do we have?
We've got about 20 seconds.
Okay, then let's end with it. Say it one more time, Denise. I'm done. I'm going to say my quick take. Todd, you don't get a quick take. Say it one more time.
All right, listen to the second hour, but somewhere over the rainbow, skies may be blue, but there is a blow-up snowman struggling to not be bent over the rail.
We'll be back after this in Saturday, 9 to noon, if you want to come back. Thanks for joining us.
Bye-bye, everyone. I'm done. I'm out here. I want my toy. Try and pay me now.
You have been listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk Incorporated.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while, we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and Save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.